All right. Item 12, presentation of the San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District final audit report. Raleigh, you have the stage.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, before you, you have a copy of the final audit report for San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District.
It was a good report.
And just a little background, some reminders of the employer audits that we do. We look at the compensation records. We look at the payroll records that's reported to us. We perform an on-site review, map out the district's payroll workflow, just so we have a good understanding of what their workflow is on their reporting, and then also see how that ties back to the information that we're onboarding into our pension administration system. So the whole purpose of the review is to do that reconciliation, to look at pensionable compensation, the contributions that are reported to the retirement system, and then also look at any other items that relate to the onboarding and retirement and termination of an employee as well. And we look at all the records using sample months, and we go back during a couple year-over-year periods, typically April and November are test months, and we look back over two fiscal years to do a comparison, see what changed, see what variances may occur during that period, and then also look at how the tie back to source from the district's records reflect what was actually reported to us. So the main thing that I think that's really good about the employer audit program is it really provides a better understanding of what's actually occurring in the district, and then how that relates to the pension information and member information that we're managing on our side. So the on-site review that was performed actually occurred a couple of months ago. So we looked back in earlier this year, and we looked at the members during that time for fiscal 2017 and 18, and 2016 and 17. So that gave us the year-over-year comparison, for a lot of the testing. And what I'd like to do is just direct you to page 48, which was the follow-up items that were noted during the review. Now, at the preliminary report stage, we did have some observations with the pensionable compensation and contribution reporting. And one of the items that was observed was Roman numeral 1 under number 1 pensionable compensation contribution reviews. And when we were looking at how data was in our pension administration system, we noticed that pay codes for vacation cash outs, so those vacation sale backs and how regular vacation was actually coded and then reported to us, that we couldn't make a distinction between the two because the same pay code was used. So we observed in what our member services department is engaging for a number of these items that were listed under number one, they're looking at ways that that those could be resolved. And one of the ones that is in the process of being adopted and will be going forward would be to have two separate pay codes. So then we can actually break those out. We can actually run a report to see what would actually be a pensionable item, what may not be. But at least we can break out and attribute to what kind of a cash out that was. This is very important when we go through our testing at retirement, when our retirement counselors are actually doing final average salary calculations. This is an important aspect. So with the district's response, we were in agreement on this. This is something that we have Natalie Kothmer-Wan here from the district. She's the Human Resources Director. And I know with Colin Bishop, our Member Services Manager, she's been working with him to work out what that pay code would look like and what that reporting would be going forward. And then for Roman numeral 2, this is ongoing. Colin and his staff has been out to visit with the district just to go over some of the reporting standards as well for the I-30, which is the compensation and contribution reports, and then also for the I-29, which is the demographic. And then one of the things that, you know, going through for Roman numeral 1 through 6, we were all in agreement. So the district will be, providing updated MOUs, providing an I-29 correction file, and I believe we've already provided the detail for that to be submitted to us. And then last, which is Roman numeral 6, there was a variance that was observed for one member. I believe that was being researched to see what that variance was attributed. For the second item, which is the inclusion of standby pay and pensionable compensation, this actually has been resolved. So we had noticed that for some of the safety positions, it was included in, it wasn't included in their normal work hours. However, what the district has done is included in their base pay, made that duty required. So it would not be reported as an additional compensation item. It's part of their required duty and would be included in base pay and within their normal working environment and working hours. So with the district's response to that, we were in agreement that going forward that would resolve the issue as far as the standby pay item. And then for item number 3, which is regarding the observation we made regarding the safety status of the fire, life, and safety inspector positions, the deputy fire marshal, fire inspector, plans examiner, code compliance officer. After the preliminary report, CSERA staff actually worked with the district. They looked at the MOUs. They looked at where the cutover, the issue was that there was incumbents in the positions that were performing duties that qualified them for safety eligibility status. Now, what the district had proposed and what they worked with CSERA to do is actually create two occupational classes. So when a new hire comes into the position, the duties that were normally classified as safety, they would not be performing those. So they would be actually coming in as a new hire into the general tier. The incumbents would remain in the safety tier until such time as they retire or terminate. So the new hires would not be performing any of the duties that would be classified as safety under the safety definition. So there would be a change into the classification, and there'll be two different classification codes, one that's safety for the incumbent, then one for the...
They union? And if so, did the union MOU impact this in any way, or have they responded to, has the union responded to this in any way?
There's actually language in the most recent MOU that relates to this.
Is it similar to what your observations and what you...
Yes, it is. So, yeah, this was a negotiated item. And this is actually why it came up in our observation, because within a 12-month period, they had one ratified labor agreement, and then by the end of that year, there was a new one, which created a difference, and there's a disconnect, because there's that language that they would remain in as incumbent. But the actual job description, there were some nuances that changed it. So this is why we called it out during the review. But working with the CSERA staff and going through our review process, they were able to identify that those duties that qualified them as safety would no longer be performed when the new hire comes in. So, the last item, which is the Internal Revenue Code compensation limits, the district is looking into. We observed that there was one district employee that had exceeded the compensation limit. So there was an overcompensation and overcontribution near the end of the year. It's a limit that's placed by the Internal Revenue Service that we need to look at every year. The district needs to cut an individual off and not report in excess of the compensation limit for a defined benefit plan. So I think that's in the process of being researched, and a correction will be worked with Colin and Member Services to adjust that employee's record. So to that effect, we had provided the district a letter dated August 15th, just acknowledging the responses and the corrective actions that will be made. I also want to thank Natalie and her staff during the course of the audit. It went very smoothly and very cooperative and getting a lot of the questions and details back and forth with us. So thank you again, Natalie, for that. So any questions from the board?
I don't know if it's a question as much as it's a comment. So a lot of work went into this. Appreciate it. And I'm delighted to hear the last thing you said, which is that it was a cooperative effort and that you had the ability to get the information you needed on a timely basis and so on. It struck me, this is a tough read, for the most part, in terms of you get into the weeds a little bit. What would help me going forward on these is that it's... I finally figured out that page 48, which is the follow-up items, is like the crux of the matter, right?
Okay.
So what I might suggest is consider when it's coming to the point where it's going to be presented here is to maybe think about doing an executive summary at the outset so that it can focus us to these four main areas. Okay. So when we read them, we'll be able to connect the dots and highlight those. And I think it would be helpful to know at the outset in the summary that it was the experience was a cooperative one, because we have had occasions, as you know, in the past where that hasn't always been the case, right? And that's important for us to know that. But this was a whole lot of detail and very interesting, and I'm glad those two key points on compensation got resolved. Because to me, at least from where I sit, those two things were the most important things, right? If you have pay codes that don't jive, or you have issues about pensionable comp, that's where the rubber meets the road here, right? So, for us. So, anyway, I thought it was a great report, and that's my one suggestion would be to move some of that stuff up front, telegraph it, signpost it, and then I won't get lost in the weeds.
No, I think that's a great comment. I think as we move through some of these reports, we're always looking at ways to improve them. So, summary, certainly we can accommodate that.
Yeah, it's very thorough, though. I mean, and I appreciate the rigor and the thoroughness, so don't misunderstand my comment.
I would say if Mr. Gordon appreciated this, thought this was kind of tough sledding, you're a candidate for audit
there we
audit
go.
Committee.
thanks for suggesting that.
Just want to say, Natalie, thank you for your cooperation and working with us to get this done. Wally, I thought it was a good report.
Yeah.
Some of the suggestions that were made by Scott, I agree with an upfront page would be very helpful. But I got a real picture of all the stuff you got to do and what's involved from this report. And I thank you for that. And I was favorably impressed.
I just want to also thank Christina Dorn, our compliance business analyst. With her coming on board, we're able to look at things a little bit deeper. She brought a lot of technical skill to the position. So it's her assistance has been invaluable in doing these audits.
Great. Any other questions or comments?
Great. Thank you, Roland.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Roland.
Thank you.
Jerry, when I was in law school, I used to read the Internal Revenue Code to fall asleep at night.